Well, welcome everybody to the journey, our first night of August. My name's Kevin. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about your season of great hope and how to enter in or how to enter into this promised land of great hope. I heard a comment from somebody, yeah, well, I'm getting a feeling that Silicon Valley is not the promised land. And I was thinking, that's true. Because no physical geographic place is the promised land. The only place we'll find the promised land is in our hearts and in our relationship with God, right? And when you're living in that place, we're going to see fruitful seasons of blessing in our lives. Okay, one of the ingredients most needed today, we believe, is hope in people's lives. Does this thing work? Oh, there it is. Check it out. If you've been following news, political news, or just things that are happening in our society and the culture around us and the military unrest that's going on. And there's just like crazy stuff going on out there. And sometimes I'm like, it drives me crazy. And I'm like getting really upset, you know, and my wife has to remind me, honey, you need to put that stuff down, shut your computer down, turn off your phone, and, you know, spend some time with the Lord because... You know, it's a little crazy. And if you focus on the stuff that's happening around there in the world or even what's happening in your life that's not so good, you can struggle with having enough hope in your life. You really can. Anybody been there over the last, you know, number of months, had a little spat or times where you're feeling blue and just struggling with hope? Yes, all of us have been there, you know, probably yesterday or in the last month or two. But, you know, people that hang out with those that build their hope, you know, always feel encouraged. People want to hang out with people that are hope-filled, right? And people that are filled with hope and see the positive side of things are always going to be very attractive people. And that's the kind of people God has called us all to be. He wants us to be a fragrance in the world. And hope is, you know, a very vital ingredient to that. And it's part of our culture here at The Journey. We've been told by many people that they come here and they feel encouraged. They feel hopeful again. They feel like, you know, they can go out there and God's going to do some good things in their life, that they can actually enjoy life. And, you know, sometimes they go to church and they don't necessarily feel that way. So that's our goal all the time because God is a God of hope, right? That's his nature. That's who he is. And if we're going to reflect him, we need to reflect that nature of hope. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we're told to hold fast, to cling to. Don't let go of your hope. And it's a confession of hope. It's something that you speak. It comes out of your mouth. You know, it oozes out of your pores. You're a person of hope. You speak hope. You think hope. You know, even when things are negative or, you know, blue around you, you can see, you know, the bright things around and you can encourage people. So my question of you tonight, are you holding on to your confession of hope? Are you clinging to it? What promises in your life or from Scripture or things that you're believing to see in your life happen, are you clinging to? Are you clinging to hope in those areas? Are you praying and believing that God is working on your behalf in those areas? You know, the perspective of growing hope is evidence that a renewed mind is happening. So if you're fulfilling the scripture in Romans 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you're going to have hope growing in your life. And so in every different area of your life, there's some areas, I don't know if you're like me, there's some areas that I struggle with feeling hopeful in, you know, and there's other areas that I have a lot of hope in my life. And we're all different in that, right? And so I want you to kind of, as we're going through this talk tonight, think about those areas in your life that maybe you struggle with hope, that you need a new injection of God's hope in your life, and you want to believe for that tonight, because that's our belief for you, that you're going to leave this place with more hope in that area, that you're going to have God speak to you in that area and encourage you, and you're going to hear something from his Holy Spirit tonight about that. So what are those areas you need to grow hope in? Is it your financial life? Is it your social or relational life? Is it, you know, hope for the future in some area in your work or your impact on the world? All of us want to make an impact and make a difference while we're here on this planet. What areas are there? The main attack on hope in our lives is through our minds, as you all know, right? The battle is in our minds. We've talked about this a number of times in past journey events. And so we need to be renewed in our minds. Oh, yeah, I haven't defined it yet. Let's define hope. This is the scriptural definition of hope, the confident expectation of good, or the confident expectation that good things are coming. How many of you got a confident expectation that good things are coming for you? You know, are there areas of your life where you don't have that and you need kind of a, you need to be pumped up or jacked up, or you need God to speak to you and encourage you in that area? See, the truths you believe about your life and your circumstances, about you, about God and the world, those truths will increase your hope. But the lies that you believe, the things that aren't true, and sometimes we don't even recognize what we're believing is not true, but those things will always deflate your hope. So areas of your life where you're not feeling hopeful, you can be assured that God's not in those areas, that somehow the enemy's whispering to you, or you bought things that the world has sown into your life that you need to reject, and that you need to embrace a hope-filled mindset of that. I mean, there's so many areas in our lives that we tend to believe things that aren't true. I mean, just in general societal things, sometimes we believe that the world's always getting worse, right? But did you know in the last 100 years ago, 95% of the world's population was in dire extreme poverty? Today, the stat is around 25-28% are in dire poverty. That's a huge increase. Things are getting better in that area, right? The crime rate in America over the last decade or two has actually decreased quite a bit, significantly. I can't remember what it was, like 15 or 20%, and it's gone down. A lot of people look around at the church in North America and say, wow, the church is struggling, it's kind of declining, and whatever is going on, you know, got all these other things happening in our nation. Well, did you know the church is actually increasing globally? It's the largest percentage of the world's population than ever before. There's more Christians in the world today than there have been in the previous centuries from Christ until now. Did you know that? Right? In China, there are literally tens of millions coming to know Jesus and coming to faith in Christ every year. I think it's something like 5 house churches are planted every, I don't want to exaggerate, but it's at least every hour. It may have been every minute, but at least every hour, 5 house churches planted in China. So there's amazing things happening around the world if we just change our perspective and start looking for the hope-filled things. And in your own life, there's ways of seeing things in a hope-filled perspective. God's called you to be like our Heavenly Father, right? Jesus has called you to be like Him, to be like His Father, and guess what? They're hope-filled. God is hope-filled. Jesus is full of hope. He's full of hope for you. Okay, I'm going to ask Carmen to come and help me with this little bit. Part of what our Heavenly Father does as somebody that's hope-filled, we talked about that, be transformed, is this verse here. Here it is. You heard this verse? You seen this one, Carmen? You guys seen this? It's talking about God, okay? It says, He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them, His enemies. It's talking about His enemies. He laughs and scoffs at His enemies. His enemies that are speaking untruths, that are trying to do things to undermine His hope-filled agenda for the world. And so what we thought we'd do, you know, hopefully this, you know, people can work with us on this, right, Carmen? We want to do some laughing tonight together at some lies that the enemy often speaks into our lives. Now, we believe, as you know, Bible-believing Christians, that we do have an enemy of our soul. The Bible's very clear about that. And his main way of attacking us is through lies and things that he whispers into our lives through various sources and causes us to embrace or believe that would cause us to be defeated in our lives. And sometimes we need to recognize those lies and begin to just laugh at them and then replace them with the truth. So, Carmen, why don't you start us off here, okay? So you can do...
Okay. Do you guys get what's going to happen? Okay. I just want to really prep them. So I'm going to say a lie like the devil, okay? And you're going to what? Laugh. Okay, they got it. Okay, you ready?
Pretty simple.
This is hilarious to me. You're a loser.
That's hilarious.
You are an insignificant person in the body of Christ. No way. I can't believe he gets away with that one.
Wait, hold on. You know what? God is not going to supply your every need.
Now, we know why that's not true, right? Because the Bible tells us the reverse, right? He will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Here's another one. You're not an attractive person to other people. Right? What does the Bible tell us? He's made us all fearfully and wonderfully. He's made us desirable and attractive and awesome.
Amen. Okay, we're going back for more. Okay. You're going to be poor the rest of your life. No. Oh, that's crazy.
I'm rich. He said, right? The Bible says, he in his riches became poor so that we through his poverty might become rich, right? Amen. That's the Bible.
All right. I'll conclude with one more. Your country is messed up and there's no hope for it. Not true, right? God's plan and agenda is always hope-filled. He has good things in store for our nation, even though things are eroding and maybe some things aren't as positive or as righteous as we would like. Remember, even in Sodom and Gomorrah, God would agree to save that nation from destruction even if there were five righteous. Five righteous. How many do we have here that love God and are walking, you know, pursuing him? Way more than five, okay? So God has hope for our nation. All right. Carmen's going to come help me a little later. So I want to talk to you about five truths to dramatically raise your hope level. Now, there's lots of truths. Can find hundreds in the scripture. We've just picked five randomly that we think are important. Number one, I choose a new way of hope-filled thinking. And this is a way to overcome hopelessness. There is hope for me. I'm going to overcome hopelessness, and I believe that there is hope for me in whatever area that you're believing for. Romans 5:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." He wants us to abound in hope, to be plentiful, to be filled up with hope. Now, I don't know if you've ever met Eeyore type people. You know what an Eeyore person is? Any of you ever seen Winnie the Pooh back in the day, you know, when you're a kid or maybe with your kids? There's this character in Winnie the Pooh called Eeyore, the donkey, I guess, right? And he's always got the negative, depressing slant on every situation. He's Eeyore, you know. So every time, you know, something's happening, he's, you know, everything's falling apart. You know, the world's coming to an end. It's, you know, horrendous. And sometimes people can get that way. Have you ever met an Eeyore person around you, right? And probably each of us in some way, maybe even for a moment or a day or two or longer, have become Eeyore people, right? How many of you like hanging around with Eeyore people? Anybody? No. All right. Nobody, right? So God wants, to flip that around so that you're a hope-filled person, that you are able to encourage people, that you're able to be a blessing to people wherever you go. And so part of our motto and encouragement, even in the journey, is when you come here, and if we all had this attitude in coming to the journey or anything you come to, you would see life injected into every situation that you go to. I mean, we would have people piling up, and we'd have this hall filled right to the back rafters with people, because there would be so much hope and so much encouragement in there. If everybody came here not to get something, but you came to give something. And if you came here to give hope to at least one person here, and you said, "God, before you came here, Show me one person that I can make feel better, that I can inject hope into their life, that I can encourage them, even if it's just one, through a smile, through encouragement, through finding a treasure, something amazing about them, and telling them that I see that. Whatever it is, how can I make somebody feel like $1 million tonight? If we all did that, this place would be packed out, and we need to find a bigger hall, right? We would, because people are drawn to hope. And the fruit of hope is joy, right? Laughter, peace, and ultimately good things that happen that God pours out. Because when you're hope-filled in God, you can believe that he's a good God. Then you begin to put your faith and trust in him more. You get closer to God, and you become filled up more and more with him, and you've got more to give out. And in turn, it's easier to receive blessings from God. It's easier to receive the things that you feel stuck in, that you're wondering if this will ever change in your life when you're doing that. It just is. And I've noticed that even in my own life. So, this is a good verse. Romans 5:3-4. We also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation is just a fancy Bible word for hard times. Okay, tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Notice at the end of all that kind of chain of events is the word hope. So let's just kind of dissect it really quickly. First, we glory or we rejoice or we get excited about hard times. Anybody ever do that? Okay, so you don't get excited about hard times or tribulation because of the hard times or the tribulation. You get excited about it because it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to get a victory and for you to grow stronger and for you to become a more positive person that's overcome, that's got a victory, and that's become stronger inside. Your faith has grown. You're more faith-filled. You're leaning on God more, and you can be a positive impact in other people's lives. So every challenge is a stepping stone to growing and becoming more like God and more hope-filled. So we rejoice in that. We say, God, I don't know why this is going on in my life, but I know you have good things for me, and I know you have strength for me, and you're going to help me through this, and you're going to help me overcome so I can become more like you, a God of hope. Secondly, we continue to persevere in this glory. So we glory in hard times, then we persevere. That means just keep on, right? You don't give up. I mean, there's so many times in my life where I felt like I just wanted to just give up. And there was something inside of me, I just felt the Lord whispering to me, don't give up. Because if you just hold on and you persevere, you always win. You always win if you persevere. The devil will give up eventually. But if you persevere, you'll eventually overcome. The only victory the enemy gets over you is through lies and thoughts that he puts in your mind. Right? So if you can cling to hope and persevere. I told the story, I think it was like, I don't know, a few weeks back, about a townhouse in Canada before I moved here that I was trying to sell. And the market had crashed, and I had this crazy psycho partner that I was attached to, and it was like a mess. And it was very, very difficult for a number of years. It was just leaking me by thousands every month. I didn't know what to do. It was empty. The market was crashing. We couldn't get tenants in. And I had this partner that was threatening to sue me, all kinds of stuff. And I was losing hope. And I mean, after 3 or 4 years of this, I was just so beat up. It was affecting my marriage. It was affecting my relationship with Claudia. I was feeling like blue and depressed a lot of the time. And I was going, God, something's got to break here. And I just continued to feel like God say, I want you to persevere and believe me that I have a breakthrough in this situation for you. And so instead of, you know, listening to the bad news in the world, I shut off all social media, all news, everything that would deflate my hope. And I began to just read scriptures. I began to get scriptures about God's desire to bless me, to bring breakthroughs in my life, that his love for me, that I'm his child that he looks after. And I began to just, you know, read these, pray these out, think about them day and night. And then I began to declare over my situation that God was giving me the breakthrough that this place was going to sell. We tried to sell 4 or 5 times, and it hadn't sold for all this period of time. I tried numerous different realtors. Nothing had happened. So I went up to Canada for the last time, cleaned up the place, hired a new realtor and said, okay, God, this is it. You know, came back, and by this time, I'd cut off the negative, hopeless stuff out of my life, and I was starting to feel hopeful, and then eventually faith kicked in. And I came to the place where I knew that I knew that I knew that I had the breakthrough, that it was done, even though it hadn't sold yet. I knew it was done. Anybody got there, got to that place before you seen that happen in your life? And so my realtor listed it. He got a call within one day of the listing, and the photos of the place hadn't even gone up on the listing. And I'd made a mistake in the listing. Like, I meant to list it at a certain, because it was like barely break even, and I thought I was going to probably have to subsidize and throw money in the pot to even make it sell, because it was underwater a bit. I made a mistake, and I sent in the price I wanted in the list, which was too high for it to really sell. But I made a mistake. It was kind of a God incident, right? So he thought, man, this guy's crazy, but he listed it at that price. People, it ended up, they bartered back and forth, and it sold, I think it was above the price that I asked, and within 2 days it was sold. Done. And my realtor called me up, and we started talking, and he said, yeah, they made this offer, and, you know, back and forth a few times. And he said, that list price you gave me, like, you told me verbally that you were going to list it, like, quite a bit lower. What happened? I said, really? I listed that price? He said, yeah. And then he just started laughing. He just howled on the phone. He just started laughing. He says, well, it sold. And that was the fruit of filling my life with hope over and over and over again. It was this incredible breakthrough. Claudia and I went out and celebrated, and I still look on that as this amazing victory in my life that I knew was the fruit of just filling my heart and my life with hope. Okay, so another part of this, of course, is growing in Christian character. Perseverance helps us to do that. Making godly decisions, decisions of integrity when we're tempted to cheat and to do things that are maybe not integrity. And I was tempted in this situation and, in other situations. And I always felt like God said, no, always take the high road. Trust me that I'll make up the difference. You don't have to cheat on things. You don't have to fudge the truth. You don't have to kind of like tell little white lies, even though I was tempted to, because, things were going terrible. I could have, right? So you grow in character and then change the way you think, right? So we're constantly changing the way we think by injecting hope and life into our lives. Okay. Choosing a way of hope-filled thinking. I don't know what the scripture verse there is, because maybe I forgot to write it down for Ray, but that's okay. The kingdom of God and the promises of God move forward primarily not by what we do, but by what we believe. Oh, this is a quote by, I think it's Steve Backlund. So the kingdom of God moves forward in our lives not by what we do, the things by we do, but by what we believe first. And what we believe affects the things we do. It affects our emotions. It affects the way we act. It affects the way we feel about ourselves and other people. That's just God's principle. As a man thinks in his heart, or as a woman thinks in her heart, so they are, right? So the main hope-filled thought we want to fill our lives with is there is a way. In times or places in your life where you feel there is no way, there's no way out of this, I don't see a change in this, I don't see how this is ever going to change in my life, there is a way. I know you have a way for me, even though I don't see it, God. Right? No temptation has overtaken you, but is common to man. God is faithful, who will allow you to be tempted beyond, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with temptation will provide a way of escape. God provides ways of escape from situations, temptations, hard times, and helps us overcome and get through them. Okay, see if we can get through this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know that verse. It's a powerful scripture. Okay, number two. I am lovable and valuable is the truth we want to inject into our lives, because when you believe this, it'll raise hope in your life. If you don't believe you're valuable, you're important to God, and you're important to the people around you, and you're important to the world, you will lose hope. If you don't believe you're loved, you will struggle with feeling hope. I mean, You see people that lose hope that they're lovable, that they can be loved, or they have a heartbreak or something, and they lose hope even in life. They don't want to live anymore. So we need to speak these truths over our lives every day. It's really important. Here's a great scripture. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, this is talking about God our Father, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? See, if you believe that God gave you Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the forgiveness of your sins, he gave you the most important, incredible thing that you could ever have. I mean, it's a no-brainer. He's going to want to give you all kinds of other things. He's a good dad. He wants to bless your life. He wants to lavish you with good things, hope-filled things, right? That is incredible love. That's the kind of love our Father has for us. The Bible actually says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for you when you got your act together and you were doing good and you were a good person. He died for you when you were a sinner, or while you were yet sinners. He died for your sins. How much more will he do incredible things for you now that you're his child? If you've made him your Savior, if you've come to him, he's forgiven you. Wow, he's going to do much more for you. By his will, we've been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and forever. Now, this is just a scripture that helps us to believe that you are actually holy. The word holy just means you've been made pure. You've been forgiven. And it says once and for all, which means forever. You've been forgiven once and for all. Past, present, future, once and for all. That's who he's made you to be. And the more we believe truths like this, the more we'll actually live like we believe it. Do you know that you don't overcome temptation and sin by beating on yourself and telling yourself that you're a dirty, rotten sinner, that you messed up, and you need to get your act together, right? Preaching that's always bashing you over the head and telling you need to get your act together, that will discourage you more than fill you with hope. And that will make it harder for you to overcome. But when you start to believe the truths God says about you, this truth, you're holy, this one here, he made you the righteousness of God in him. Through Jesus, he's made you righteous. That's who you are. You're in right standing with him. You're right. When you believe this stuff, it fills you with hope, and it gives you a desire to serve him to overcome temptation. I find the more that I meditate on these things, I say them every morning. I wake up and I say, thank you, God, that you love me, that you're crazy about me, that I'm valuable to you, that you've forgiven me, that you've made me righteous, you made me holy, and you empower me to live a life that's pleasing to you. And when I start to meditate on those truths, I get so filled with hope that I find myself overcoming temptations, bad negative cycles of thinking that I've had in my life. I suddenly, God injects this hope and this life and this strength into me that I can overcome. That's the key to overcoming, not beating yourself over the head. All right. How many can get into a cycle of beating yourself up? Anybody? Wow, brave guys, they admit it. Okay, a lot of us do that, right? We can beat ourselves up. Oh, I can't believe you did that. You know, you're a loser, you're this, you know, you messed up again and stuff. Think about this. If what you're telling yourself, you wouldn't tell another person, you wouldn't tell to your friend, it's probably not God. It's probably something you shouldn't be telling yourself. Would you walk up to your friend and say, hey, you're a loser? No. Would you say, you know, oh, you messed up again, you failed, you're probably never going to overcome? Would you say that? But we tell ourselves stupid stuff like this. We think of these things and we tell ourselves this over and over and over again. A lot of people don't even realize that unless you become aware and maybe the Holy Spirit points it out and say, hey, you realize what you just thought? And you go, oh, shoot, I can't believe that I'm thinking that. You ever done that, Carmen? All right. I pray that they may be perfected in unity so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. The key about this verse, I want you to know here, Jesus is speaking and he's saying that God the Father loves us, loves his people, loves Jesus' followers as much as he loves Jesus. In other words, he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Now try and wrap your mind around that. It'll probably take you the rest of your life and then eternity. But if you can start to meditate on that wake up and put that on the mirror in front of you in the morning and look yourself in the face and say, God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. You're amazing. God has made you fearfully and wonderfully. He's made you desirable and attractive. He's put gifts and amazing things inside of you so that you can be a blessing to the world. Anybody do that? I know it sounds weird, but I tell you, if you want to become hope-filled and you want to become a conqueror and a victorious person in life, you need to do stuff like that. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord, King David. He did that. He would encourage himself. He would speak to himself and encourage himself because sometimes, anybody know, sometimes there's nobody else around you that's encouraging you. You ever been in a place where there's just no encouragement anywhere else? So all you've got left is God to go to encouragement, and sometimes you're having a hard time hearing God. So maybe you just need to encourage yourself with God's word and the truths that God has spoken to you in times where you were doing okay. All right, I got to get moving here. Group discussion, yeah. All right, so for about 10 or 15 minutes, we're going to do this. In your table groups, you're going to discuss these two questions. Discuss the need for hope today in the Christian world or your world. Okay, you don't have to focus for long on that, but just talk a little bit about that. I marked there about 6 minutes. And then number two, this is the one you want to focus on. Talk about how to raise your hope levels with the points mentioned so far or your own ideas. How can you raise your hope? How can we raise our hope as a community? And talk a bit about that. And I want to encourage you in your table groups, don't let one person dominate. So if you like to talk a lot, try and like pull back a little bit. Give other people opportunity. All right, go. All right. Okay. I know there's never enough time to discuss these things. That's why we give you Coca-Cola after party time. All right. Let's have, like, say, 4 or 5 quick ideas for question number two. Ideas how you can raise your hope levels that came out of your table. So I just want to hear like a sentence or two of an idea how to raise your hope levels. So let's have some hands raised, some volunteers, some people at your tables. Okay, Carmen?
Nathaniel said turn off your TV. That was brilliant.
All right, turn off your TV. That's good. How many of you have done that before? You know, just I got to get this thing off.
All right. So some of the highlights that came out of our group were listen to worship music, pray, and read the Bible.
All right, all good things. Yes, do lots of that and do it often. Over here.
I always listen to K-Love.
K-Love, oh yeah. They're all
give you a lot of encouragement, song, worship, and motivation and all this.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it is an encouraging station, and of course they always promote how encouraging they are because when they do their fundraisers, they have these testimonies, oh, you know, I was going to end my life, and I listened to K-Love, and I'm...
Because when people are alone, they're isolated, and you're a Christian, you're in communion with other people, being around Christians is uplifting and hopeful. Yeah. It's like the predators in Africa, those lions, they wait for the stragglers to get separated from the herd, uh-huh. And those are the ones they go after.
Yeah, awesome, Derek. Yeah, get into community. Stop being isolated. We always tell singles, I know this always goes over like a lead balloon, but we tell people all the time, if you're living on your own as a single person, don't. Get a roommate. Get another place and share a place with somebody else. Always be in community. I mean, if you're wanting to get married someday or have a relationship and you're going to jump in from living on your own for like years and years and years and jump into like 24/7 with somebody else the rest of your life, and you haven't learned to live in the conflict and the challenges and the iron sharpens iron thing of living with somebody else, you got a problem, and most people bail before they get there because they haven't been practicing, right? So practice. Take yourself into really difficult situations. Get a roommate. All right. People that have listened to us on this have found it a lot easier getting into relationships with the opposite sex because they've been practicing. They learn how to resolve conflicts and stuff. Okay, one more.
I'm being a little bit silly, but do you mean by practicing that we should move in together with someone? Or?
All right, let's clarify this.
Shame on.
We're not talking about living with somebody of the opposite sex. We're talking about having a same-sex roommate in a platonic friendship. All right? How else can I explain this? All right. We're going to move on. Okay, so one of my best friends from Canada, who was actually just recently here, him and his wife dropped by, just, you know, came down, drove down the coastal road and said, "Hey, we're coming. Can we hang out?" We hung out for a day and a half with him, and he's one of the most hope-filled people I know on the planet. And I've mentioned him before. We'll call him Dave again, because I talked about him as Dave on my last YouTube video, which you can watch. I refer to him as the Golden Boy, because everything he does turns to gold. Okay, so here's a guy that has no post-secondary education. Every job that he works for, he gets promoted really quickly and gets raises really fast and gets promoted beyond every other person that's been there for a lot longer than him. He, travels on a missions trip, come back one day with his amazing woman that he's engaged to and got married. They now have a couple kids. He got this business dropped in his lap one day, and some people showed him how to run this business and how to do different things. And then he got all this work given to him. And when I was up in Canada last, he said to me, "Kevin, it's incredible." He says, "I'm just making this huge amount of money, and God just keeps blessing me. I never even imagined that I would make so much money in my life." And now he's down again and telling us how much he's being blessed and what God's doing in his life. But the deal is, he is such a guy of hope. He encourages everybody around him. He makes everybody feel hope-filled in every area of their life. And because he has this real connection with God, he knows, because he had a great relationship with his earthly dad, and his earthly dad just believed in him and would do anything to see his life succeed, he believes the same thing about his Heavenly Father. And that belief causes him to succeed in everything he does and causes him to be hope-filled. And it's an amazing way to live. I mean, he's just an example to me of just a hope-filled person. Okay, we got two more truths that Carmen's going to share with us. Then we'll have another quick break.
Okay, I'm going to set my watch so we really get out of here. Okay, all right, so two quickly is, one is, and look, I'm going to just say these, Bamo. Okay, that's perfect. We'll do that one. Okay, what we're talking about, right, is, and look, I've had the privilege of hanging out with these guys, Kevin and Claudia, and I mean, they're the real deal. I mean, at the house, they're the real deal. And so this is all about, I know some of you guys are looking like, you know, this is all power to positive thinking, but the Bible says, right, be transformed, right? Does it not say that? Like, you could be completely changed by what? The renewing of our mind. And I think sometimes as singles, we think, all I need to find is my little, you know, Kokomo or Kokoma, whatever, you know, whatever, right? Kokoma. And so we think all I need is, or this job, we think the circumstances, but really this is about, right, in terms of having a transformed life, it's bam, right here, right? And Kevin does a great series on it, but it's really our heart condition. And some people are like, "Oh, I don't want to hear that. You know, just tell me it's gonna." But it's a little harder. But the beauty of it is it empowers us, right? It empowers us. It's not out there. It's not an external locus. It's within. So look, this truth right here is, I love it. It says, "My past does not have to determine my future," right? One of Satan's greatest lies is that we cannot have a great quality future because of the mistakes that I've had, that I've made in my past. One of the greatest lies, and if we could just rebuke that, put an axe, the Bible says in Matthew, put an axe to that thing and say, never again will I believe that about my life. The Bible actually says in Psalms that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. So we don't have to face the consequences of our past. Listen to what of the Apostle Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man," just a bad guy, right? Paul was just a bad, naughty murderer, right? He says, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And so Paul could have walked his life in shame, coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? But yet he ended up living his life to his fullest of potential because he didn't look in the past. And so there's a truth that you have to get, that you cannot go forward in your life when you're looking backward. You can't do it, right? So you need to draw the line in the sand and say, you know what? I'm not looking back. You might need to make some amends. You might need to do some stuff that the Lord puts on your heart. I need to call some people, ask for forgiveness, make amends, do what you got to do. But after that, you said, you know what, God, I'm going forward. My past will not dictate my future. I am walking in the blessing of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so some of the times, I won't even go into it, but yeah, I will because I have 48 seconds left. But some of the lies that we believe is this only if, right? If only I had gone to more school, right? It's my grandma, right? Maybe you should, right? If only I had not been in that relationship, right? If only I wouldn't have been married. Or if only I would have gotten married. Or if this only ifs, right? And so that whole shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? You just let that thing die, right? Never again. After tonight, after like right now, 9:18, whatever it is, I'm not going back anymore, right? I'm going forward with the blessings of God with me, that he loves me. Amen.
Quick commercial.
Okay.
Sorry about this. Quick commercial break or announcement break.
Yes.
This wonderful lady back here who works at the church has been blocked in by a car back there on the street, and she would love for you just to back up a little bit so she can leave. It's a Toyota Yaris. It's in the dark, so I don't know if it's gray or whatever, but you're an alumni of San Jose State. Your license plate was 6VFP or something is the first four digits, so okay. If you can just move that quick, that'd be great. All right. Yeah, she's blocked in.
It's okay, baby. That's right. Right, that's right. It's in the past. That's right. It's like, Rafiki, don't worry. It's in the past. That's right. It's okay. Well, I thought I was in trouble. I thought like I, and I've been in trouble before for speaking. I think I said crap and I got in trouble. Oh, shoot. I just said it. Oh, okay. Let's go forward so I don't, I have two more. I'm still good. Okay, that's that. We got that? Can we move on? Okay. Shaboom. Here we go. I am thankful. Bam. Look at that. We were actually talking about that. Brother Mark was just, you were dropping it, man. You were dropping it at our table. I really appreciate it. Not that you guys weren't, okay? But you really were. Okay, being thankful, right? I want you to just get this for me really quick. The Bible says in Psalm 104, enter his gates with what? Ah, yes, yes. Mark, how you doing? Good. Okay. I just haven't met you. Just want to say good to have you. Okay. The Bible says, enter his courts, right? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And so there's a principle there. There's a principle. Gates is entering into a different reality, a different dimension, a different something, right? And so gates represent that. It's like an exit and it's an entrance into something new, right? And so going out of these doors, it could be raining outside. You go through these, right? And you're in a whole nother atmosphere, okay? And so there's a principle of thanksgiving. Having that principle of thanksgiving, it allows us to enter in, right? In the scripture, enter into the presence of God. But it's not only that, right? Entering into another dimension. So some of us, a lot of us as singles, like, I want to break into another dimension, right? I want to get to another dimension in terms of ministry, calling, relationships, mindsets, right? In terms of just my life. I just want to be at a higher level, right? There's a principle there. And what that principle is of thanksgiving, actually, I think Brother Mark hit it in our group. What Thanksgiving does, right, it gets us out of an inward focus, which is, I think, even Angie. This just brilliant, just brilliant, right? Angie was saying, it's like, well, no, I won't put on the spot, but it's like somebody in our group was saying, it's like it's helpful to get hope when you get out of yourself. And I know for myself, when Carmen is all up in here, we can get a little crazy, right? I can go to a little crazy place when I'm all up in here. Thanksgiving gets us upward focused. God, I thank you, right? I thank you. I start counting my blessings. I thank you, right? It shifts our perspective. Thanksgiving extended outward here does the same thing. Does that make sense? Do I have another point? Here we're just going to go shebang. Yes. Barum. Pari. Baro. Param. Okay, yes. Oh, I went too far. No. Okay, in Scripture. That's all right. I know. In Scripture, in Luke. Do you guys remember in Luke when there was 10 lepers that the Lord healed the 10 lepers? Do you remember that, Anne? No. Yes? Okay. When and how many lepers came back after Jesus healed the 10? One. Only one. And you know, Jesus, who is God, right, was like, where are the other people at? Only one came back to give thanks, right? And so the Bible says, I'm going to close on this because I will not get kicked off the stage, right? I'm closing right here. Kevin, I'm closing right here. The Bible says in Philippians 4, right? We know that scripture. Do not be anxious. There it is right here. About anything, right? You guys read that with me? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay. We need to do a little shift here. Prayer with thanksgiving. So often we pray, oh God, give me this, give me that, right? And we're worried and we're preoccupied. We have all this stuff, right? And it's like, oh man, I hope he's going to, I hope Papa's going to come through on this one. And that's it, right? The Bible says, no. When you pray, you attach that bad boy with thanksgiving, right? With thanksgiving that you actually are so confident in Father God. You're so confident that you are loved by God that it's like, man, I'm resting on that promise. I'm good to go. I'm happy, right? So I'm going to give you a personal example, okay? Psalm 128. Psalm 128, verse 3. What does it say? Gentlemen, what is Psalm 128, 3 say? You should know. You should know because it says, okay. I won't throw it because I will, right? Psalm 123:8-3 says, it's a blessed, sorry, blessed. And then it says, right, my wife will be, they don't know it. It says, my wife will be as a fruitful vine. Woo! Hallelujah, right? My children will be round about my table, right? You guys, okay, look. So look, you could either be like, oh, Father God, I want to get married. I want to get married. Love and marriage is such a beautiful song, right? You can sing all that, Coca-Cola, all you want, right? Right? And then get out of there and just be depressed after your prayer because you didn't believe it. Or, Artie, can I get an amen? Or you can be like, Father, you said in your word, right? You said in your word, right, that you're going to provide all my needs. And so when I'm in that prayer, thank you, I got that. When I'm in that prayer, this is for me, people. This is for me. I'm being real, but I'm messing around, but I'm being real, right? I believe that what Pastor Kevin said earlier is like, you know that you know that you know. You said that. Yeah, you believe that, right? Where I'm like, you know what? I know Father's got me. I know he's got me. That little doubt, that little fear, it's like, psh, that's done. I believe this. And so there comes a place in our Christianity, right, for real. There comes a place in our Christianity, right, where you have to really, Jesus said he put his face toward as flint, as a rock, right, as flint. And it's like, you know what, Father, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to be transformed. I'm not going to listen to Carmen. I'm not going to listen to NPR. Uh-oh. I'm not going to listen to anything else, right? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. And so I'm not going to listen like Brother Mark. I'm not going to listen to a bunch of doubt. I'm not going to listen to a bunch of stuff that's going to cause me to doubt him, right? I'm going to get really serious about this thing, and I'm going to actually believe. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we try to do all the other things. I'm going to listen to praise worship. I'm going to listen to Hillsong all day and night. But then you don't even believe it. You don't even believe it, right? I'm going to be pleasing to Daddy, because I'm going to believe his promises for me. And when you begin to do that, hope arises and joy arises. And you're like, God, you are amazing, God. Because he says in my last verse, how great, this is what he says, how great is his goodness that he has laid up for those who fear him. How great is it? Is that amen? Okay, amen. Take the mic. Amen. All right. Thank you, God.
All right. Because I was long-winded, not Carmen as much. We're going to abbreviate our discussion time, but I want to give you at least 5 or 6 minutes to discuss the last couple points. So the two things you're going to discuss are, my past does not have to determine my future, and I am thankful. So just briefly, just talk about any thoughts that come to mind regarding that and how we can integrate those truths in our lives. Go, you got 5 or 6 minutes. All right, folks. We're going to wrap up, and then you've got more time to talk after we've wrapped up and closed up in prayer. So let's just close down the discussion, and we're going to just conclude our night. All right, a couple quick things just as kind of pointers or kind of resources. If you ever get a chance to look at this book, this will supercharge you with hope. Okay, there's a whole series called Victorious Mindsets or books like this. It's got 50 different one-page truths and scriptures and illustration stuff to speak over your life, and this will definitely supercharge you with hope. So we've got a few of those out of here tonight, and we kind of made them our own and shared our own things, and we may do a little more of this the next time around because they're so powerful. So if you want lots more of this and you want to do this every day in your own life, get this, Steve Backlund, Victorious Mindsets. Oh, yeah, somebody's car keys are still sitting here, so if this is you, come and get it afterwards. It'll be right here on the music stand. Okay, it's Artie's. we call it the Artie Party. So if you want to have a good time afterwards, make sure you go hang out with the people at Kokala's. Go hang out with Artie, and it's always a party with Artie, okay? And you'll be blessed, and you can continue to talk about what we've been chatting about tonight. Okay, last thing. 1 minute, and then we're gonna pray, and we're done. Okay, this last one we're just not gonna really get into it, but we'll just mention it really quickly. I am not afraid of missing out, overcoming the never doing enough lie. Okay, we find this is so common with a lot of singles. They're always afraid they're gonna miss out somehow. Right, I've got to go to this event and do this, and I've got to get this act together here, and I've got to do this whatever, because if not, I may miss out on the one, or I may miss out on the opportunity or whatever it is, the business opportunity or this or that, the other. Now, if you recognize that happening in your life, realize that that is a fear motive, and God doesn't bless fear motives, right? He blesses faith. God is pleased with faith. And so in everything we do, we need to walk into it with faith. We can say no to certain opportunities because we're feeling overwhelmed. We've done too much this week, so we're just going to chill out at home and spend time with the Lord. And we trust that even though we're not going through that thing, or we're not doing this, or we're not taking advantage of this, or whatever it is, that God's got us covered, that he's going to create divine appointments in our life, that he's orchestrating our lives, that we can actually commit to things because we're not afraid we're going to miss out too, right? We can commit to being involved with church, or we can volunteer for this, because even if something else comes up and we're committed to doing this, we're not going to miss out because God's got us covered. We can even volunteer at Journey, and if some special like super singles thing happens on the same night, we're okay because God's got us covered, and he orchestrates our paths. He creates divine appointments. We don't have to fear, right? We find like that hangs over singles a lot, and we've experienced that. Even in our lives, it's been an obstacle that Claudia and I had to overcome in coming into, our relationship. So we encourage you to remember God has not given you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Love, power, and a sound mind. Speak that over yourself every day. Tell yourself that in the mirror. Speak it over your life in the shower, in your car. God has not given me fear. I'm an overcomer. He's given me power, love, and a sound mind, right? And you live in that place, and eventually the truths move from the longest distance from your head to your heart, and eventually it starts to become real, and you start to live like you believe it. And then you start to see the fruit of that in your life, the blessings of God, and the joy starts to rise in your heart, and the hope just starts to permeate, and you start to be a huge blessing to people around you. And so we encourage you with that. Over this next week or two, we just want to pray that, I know many of you are hope-filled people, and others maybe struggle, or all of us struggle at some point or another with that. Whenever I'm struggling, it's like, I'm glad I've got a wife that'll just kind of give me the elbow once in a while and say, hey, Kevin, remember, snap out of it. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're an overcomer. You know, pick your head up and start thanking God for what he's done in your life and what he's about to do, you know? And so she gives me those little nudges every now and again. And if you don't have somebody like that, get a good friend who will just give you a shake once in a while, who loves you enough to speak the truth, right? Anybody got some friends like that? Okay, good, good. All right, let's pray. Father, you are so good. You are a good father. And, you know, all those areas of our minds and our hearts where we doubt that sometimes, we want to bring those to you tonight. We pray that you would shine your light on maybe some lies we've believed about your word or about life or about you, and you would reveal yourself into those deep places, and that you would speak truth to us that we could embrace and begin to declare over our own lives every day. Father, I speak over everyone here tonight that you are the beloved of God, that he is crazy over you, that you are an overcomer, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, that you're a victorious believer, that he's given you righteousness so that you can reign in life, so that you can be above and not beneath, so that you can be the head and not the tail, so that you can be blessed, so that you could be a blessing. That's our inheritance in Jesus Christ, the same inheritance Abraham had. He was blessed so that he could be a blessing, and that's got what God wants to do in you. So, we, Father, I just speak that, I pray that, I bless these ones here with that, that they would be blessed coming in and going out. They'd be blessed in their relationships. They'd be blessed in their workplace, in their finances, and in the ministry and their impact on the world, that you would cause them to be a huge blessing. And we thank you for that. Father, we look forward to hearing victory stories, encouraging stories of great things you're doing in people's lives and good relationships forming. And we pray that you'd bless them all wherever they go after this and for the next few weeks till we meet again. And let them have a great arty party at Kokalas. In Jesus' name, amen.